Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Skies a jam. Dynamite dunk, and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano. Joining me are my two regular co-hosts, and all three of us are together for the first time in a few weeks. That, of course, would be Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia. Fellas, I've been gone the last couple weeks. How have the pods been going without me?
We've been holding it down, but it's special when we can get the full crew here for a show. Last week, Tim joined us fresh off a vacation. He was sick. And I love Tim, but there's something special about this group, this big three together on the same podcast. So glad to have you back, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you were being very kind to Tim there. Honestly, I thought he was a bit of a disaster. Really brought the show down, but that's okay. I don't mean it personally. You know, Tim, still love you, man. But yeah, it was a real bummer with him on here. Again, no offense. No, loved having Tim on, but it is always, like you said, great to have the whole squad together on another edition of the podcast. Luckily for us, like most teams that are as bad as the Pistons, I feel like we'd be getting into this stretch of the season being like, what on earth do we talk about? But luckily, Troy Weaver and Monty Williams are just the gift that keeps on giving. They always give us something to complain about. So you got to love them for that, if nothing else. They are content kings, and we appreciate them for that. Thank you for your service, gentlemen.
We've also had practice not knowing what to talk about in the middle of a really bad Piston season. Aaron and I have been doing this for, you know, several years now of like, shoot, what do we talk about? They're out of the playoff race. We'll just cobble it together. We do have more content to talk about this time because of a couple of signings. The New York Pistons continuing to just make moves with each other. So we're going to talk about the signing of Taj Gibson. We're going to talk about the waiving of Shake Milton. We're going to talk about the starting lineup, some of the early returns that we've seen, the shortened rotations, which have been up and down. So we're going to get into all of that and probably a couple of tangents. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is, of course, BetOnline. And BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. We're heading swiftly into March Madness. Is Selection Sunday next week? Yes, it's next week because none of the conference tournaments have started yet. That is startling. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's paths to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile device. Head to BetOnline today and become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that is BLEAV. For a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. BetOnline, the game starts here. Okay, before we get into the topics again, obligatory plug for us. The Palace of Pistons content is living on Substack. The links to subscribe to our Substack will be in the podcast show notes, wherever you get your podcasts, or will be in the YouTube description as well. Please go ahead and subscribe. We don't have any paid content. It does not cost anything. It just gets the content directly to you whenever it comes out. And we really appreciate all the subscribers as it continues to grow. It means a lot to us. We wanted to move to Substack to make it easier to get our content. And we want to make sure that as many people join as possible, because we do love doing this. And we hope that you love us doing it. So let's head on over to the first topic. And that topic is, of course, Taj Gibson. did not have it on my bingo card of the Pistons signing Taj Gibson. He gets a 10-day contract that was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. If you want to get into the nepotism thing, the a topic that has followed the Pistons for quite a while, his agent is Mark Bartlestein, who has ties to the Pistons and Arn Tellem. His son worked with the Pistons before leaving to join the Suns under new owner Matt Ishbia, which, of course, he has a ton of Michigan ties as well. He's 38 years old, not Ishbia. Taj Gibson is 38 years old. Play with the Knicks. He knows Tom Thibodeau very well, but he is now part of the Pistons. Does this mean anything? Aaron, go.
Look, I didn't have Taj Gibson being a Detroit Piston on my bingo card. It's going to be really funny, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line when you're just sitting there talking about random players in random uniforms. I think Taj Gibson being a Detroit Piston definitely falls in that category. It's not as random as like Carmelo Anthony being on the Atlanta Hawks, but it's still going to be pretty random. There is one part of me that will play devil's advocate for this signing and say that it's good to have a veteran big man joining the locker room for, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. Maybe he gets, you know, two of these, and maybe he gets ended up signed for the rest of the season since they have an open roster spot. It would be good for this locker room and specifically for the bigs on this roster, especially Jalen Duren, to have a veteran like Gibson, who's, you know, had obviously a very extended NBA career, so much to the point where he's being signed to a 10-day contract for a 9-win team at age 38 years old. But it'll be good to learn from him. It'll be good to have that voice, that type of veteran in the locker room. The other part of me says, well, they kind of already had that in Mike Muscala. But it's just a signing that, like I said, it's random. Is it going to really matter? No. There's plenty of things to get upset about this season. If you're watching the Pistons, there've obviously been so many different things that have come up throughout the year that have drawn ire from Pistons fans. I get wanting to be super, super, super excited about this because that's what this season has been about. But it's also something that in the grand scheme of things really doesn't matter a whole ton. Gibson is probably not being brought in here to play big minutes for this team. I really do think it's let's get another veteran in this with this group. Let's see if he can help this team just kind of mature a little bit. And Gibson's made a long career being a really good teammate. He's made a long career being a really good defender, learning how to hustle and make that his thing. That's what's helped him stick around. So, you know, look, is it a big deal? No. Is it a signing that's going to swing the season? No. Is it a signing that's going to impact the future? No. But most of these signings are never going to be that when you're signing guys in March on 10-day contracts or rest of season deals. You know, they're usually never going to end up being anything all that special. So I only have super strong feelings one way or the other towards it.
Yeah, this is just like kind of a who cares. I guess Ronaldo Balkman and like Jared Jeffries were busy or whatever. They couldn't sign. Like the Pistons are signing like senior citizens off of the New York Knicks former squad. Sure. What's Eddie Curry up to these days? Who knows? Yeah, this is, I'll just pretty much echo what Aaron said. Like, this is kind of a nothing signing. It's one of those where you look at the on-court impact. Will there be any? Probably not. He's one of those guys where you go, well, you know, fine, have him in the locker room. He's not going to be playing. And then, of course, Monty Williams plays him for like 20 minutes a night for the next 10 contests. Say,
does anyone think he plays over James Wiseman while he's here? Like,
is that they're gonna play him over Fontecchio? That's what they're gonna do. Simone is just
in the starting lineup and on the bench.
That's exactly it. That's what they're gonna do. No, just to kind of echo what Aaron said, like I don't honestly imagine this is going to be like a signing of somebody even like Fournier, or I guess, I mean, I thought the same thing with Malachi Flynn, but then Malachi Flynn was getting run while Marcus Sasser was out, so who knows. But no, generally, like, I've been advocating that the Pistons get a big man with experience on the roster for months now, just because exactly what Aaron said, like, I think their young guys still have a lot to learn in terms of playing defense, learning the tricks of the trade. Is there nobody more indicative of that than like Jalen Duren, a guy who's really come along offensively, but has so much room to grow on defense. And like, what you need to bring guys like that along are veterans who are going to teach them how to play basketball, who are going to teach them the little things. And hopefully, if nothing else, that is what Taj Gibson will bring to this roster. Not hopefully, if nothing else. Hopefully, nothing else will be brought to this roster by Taj Gibson other than that.
I'm still annoyed that we just couldn't get the info on the Mike Muscala buyout. Like, if that wasn't initiated by him, why buy him out, a veteran that can spread the floor and play defense and actually help this team and is a veteran, to sign a guy that, yeah, he's a good veteran, but can't really play anymore? I just don't get. And again, like, maybe Muscala was the one that went to Detroit and said, look, I want to get bought out. I think I can help a playoff team. There are teams interested in me. That's one thing, but we've got no word that that's how it played out. And with how the Pistons have managed buying out guys this year, you know, I think there was a quote from Monty Williams the other day about wanting to do right by these guys and you know, put them in situations that are good for them. And shoot, I mean, this would have been a good situation for Mike Muscala, not just for him, but for the Pistons' sake as well. So that's probably my biggest gripe is, like, yeah, Taj Gibson is a good vet, but he can't really play. Mike Muscala, who you bought out to help create this roster spot, is a veteran that is good and can play. So that's probably the deepest thoughts I have on this pretty meaningless signing.
Well, Aaron, when you have a chance to trade Trey Lyles and multiple second-round picks for the right to sign Taj Gibson at 38 years old, you just got to do it, dude.
Yeah, if you are nonplussed by the signing of Taj Gibson, do we have any outstanding thoughts on waiving Shake Milton and him going back to the New York Knicks to just pile on to the send Pistons to New York storyline that has developed? Of course, Bogdanovich and Burks getting sent there. Shake was acquired through the Monty Morris trade through the Minnesota Timberwolves. Is this even impactful or important? I mean, I don't even know if Shake Milton's going to get any run with the New York Knicks, although they're banged up enough that they might.
I guess not. I mean, he wasn't getting run in Detroit for the 2 weeks he was here, so they wanted to play, you know, guys like Malachi Flynn over him, which I think makes no sense. And again, like, I see the value in having veterans in the locker room on the team that can also give you minutes on the court. And, you know, not that Shake Milton is, you know, some game changer, but like, the guy's been in the league. The guy knows the ropes. He's won. He's played in the playoffs. He's had big performances. Like, does he make you win a ton more games? No, but it's not that he's not a useful player. Like, obviously, a team like the Knicks, who's going to be in the playoffs, and if they can get healthy, is geared up for what I think could be a very deep run in the playoffs, wanted him. So I think there's value in having these guys. And that's probably, you know, one of the bigger frustrations I've had with this team this year is I just don't feel like they've done a good job managing this roster. But that started before the season even began. That started in the offseason. And obviously we saw how the mismanagement in July and in August and sitting there and doing nothing has really just snowballed into what's been a disaster this year in terms of the roster not working, the roster, you know, not fitting together, not having enough guys that can contribute. So the Pistons buying out guys that probably could help, probably could contribute, are probably good guys to have around. They're guys that are actual NBA players, unlike guys that they have rostered this year, like Killian Hayes and Joe Harris. That's the stuff that just doesn't make sense. And there's been a lot of that kind of stuff going on over the past few years with the Pistons.
That's like the thing. I look back at the quote by Troy Weaver. We want to do right by these guys. Why? Why? Your job is not to do right by all these fringe NBA players. Your job is to do right by the organization that you work for. And I understand that it is really, really easy to look at some of these signings and trades and buyouts and say, you know what? These moves don't really matter. And in a vacuum, you'd be right by saying that. Whether Shake Milton is on this roster or not, whether Danilo Gallinari is on this roster or not, whether Monty Morris is on this roster or not, does not make a meaningful difference to your team this season or next season. But it is indicative of how Troy Weaver continues to not take advantage of the margins. And that is the difference between good GMs and GMs who get fired. It's the guys who are able to and willing to find the edge in the smallest of roster moves. They are the guys who are able to get a pick here, a pick there, a pick anywhere you can find it, and accumulate a few of them, and then trade them along with another small guy for something a little bigger. And then maybe you turn around a couple years later and trade him eventually for an actual player. And like, it's easy to hand wave these moves, lack of moves, off by saying this doesn't really matter. But what does matter is how you take advantage of the assets you are given as a GM. And Troy Weaver continues to show that he doesn't do it. Mike Muscala got waived, presumably is going to sign with a contender. Talking about Shake Milton, he's going to a playoff team. Danilo Gallinari, he's on the Bucks now. Monte Morris, he is now on the Timberwolves. These are all players that are not playing big roles, but are on playoff teams, on contending teams, depending on what you think about the New York Knicks or not. But like, that right there shows me that this is a guy that is just not properly equipped for the job. Those are the moves that do matter. Doing a favor for the Brooklyn Nets, doing a favor for Mike Muscala does not help you at any point down the line. But squeezing whatever assets you can out of the limited assets you are given, that does matter. And once again, it's just showing why he's not suited to be the GM of this team.
Well, it's sad to see that Jasper's not, you know, paying attention to Mike Muscala's LinkedIn page, because, you know, if you were, you would have known that
he's on the Thunder, the
Oklahoma City Thunder organization. So, you know,
another contender.
I would tell you, you know, as a guy that does a podcast, you need to be connected with these guys on LinkedIn. You need to be networking with these guys on LinkedIn, because, you know, if you did, you'd kind of know, hey, what organization are they with now? That's where I go for my news on where guys are signing. You know, have they updated their LinkedIn page? And Mike Muscala, if you were connected with him, you'd know that.
That's on me. I've been busy updating my Foursquare lately. My Second Life avatar is coming along great. And don't worry, folks, I have been feeding my Neopets. So right after this, I can't wait to log on to RuneScape, then check out my LinkedIn page to see what Mike Muscala is up to. But exactly like I'm saying, like OKC, that is another contender. And you just gave them Mike Muscala, not for free, because you traded second round picks to get him in the first place. So like, again, what are we doing here? I know that there are people that are going to be in our comments saying none of this stuff matters. And in a vacuum, you are right. But that is why you and I are fans, and the people who run NBA franchises run NBA franchises, because they're supposed to be able to squeeze whatever they can out of those players and out of those moves. And you have a guy in charge that doesn't do that. So my apologies to Mike Muscala. That's on me.
And if you did look at his LinkedIn, he would be able to see that you looked at it because he pays for premium, which is also insane.
That is awesome. That's awesome. He's got to be.
That's not cheap.
Player in the league that's doing that. Gotta be.
Yeah, you know, Chris Paul is on LinkedIn as well, which makes a lot of sense, but I don't know if he pays for premium. In fact, I was on LinkedIn the other day because apparently I am 55 and want to look up memes that were, you know, around 18 years ago. And Chris Paul was a lot of your followers followed this guy type of notification was Chris Paul. I thought, what a weird crossover between what I do on the side and what is appearing on LinkedIn. But anyway,
what do you think Chris Paul's LinkedIn page says he was doing between 2020 and 2023, de facto head coach of the Phoenix Suns? Because it sure seems that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not click on his account, but Mike Muscala might be the only one that pays for LinkedIn Premium, like willingly knows that he pays for it. So pretty funny. I am now totally distracted, not to get us too off topic, but I'm totally distracted by this picture that is on Twitter of Tom Gores chaperoning Andre Drummond and Jeanette McCurdy on a date.
Dude, great times. Oh, dude, people will not understand what it was like during 2013 when the McCurdy Andre Drummond situation was going down. That was an electric time to be a Pistons fan. They had just signed Josh Smith. It was already a disaster. They had him, Andre, and Greg Monroe in the front court. Bring me back. Fun
this
time.
Picture looks like it was taken on a potato. Like it was. It's definitely like 10 years old at this point because Drummond was probably 18 or 19. But is Tom Gore is chaperoning.
Is there anyone you would trust less to be around your 21-year-old than Tom Gores?
I don't know, Charlie Sheen.
You know what? Jasper brought up a player that I think I'd rather have than Taj Gibson, and I'm not talking about Andre Drummond. I'm talking
Ronaldo
about
Blackman.
Oh, can we bring back Greg Monroe?
Oh,
I mean,
my God,
he put up some numbers when he was a Piston. I kind of miss the guy. Smooth lefty in the post. One of those last old age bigs that played out of the post, the hook shot, the back him down. I miss that guy. He was fun.
Was Gigi Datome left-handed? I can't remember.
I don't Maybe know not. About that one.
Okay. Well, whatever. Greg Monroe, we'll bring in James Young. We're going to get all the lefty guys who are out of the league.
Another guy.
Let's
that
do it.
Sorry. When you sign Taj Gibson, you just start thinking of all these guys that have come and gone in the league, and Taj Gibson's outlasted them all. I mean, this is what year 14 for Taj Gibson?
I think he was playing with Willis Reed back in the day. I could have been. Oh my Lord. Oh God. This is what the Pistons have reduced us to. We're basically just doing like Sporacle on a podcast.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was Taj Gibson and Horace Grant defending Michael Jordan.
It's that tweet. Dudes love sitting around and naming random athletes for hours.
It's true.
That's so true. And that's literally our podcast right now.
That's going to be our podcast for the next like 2 months.
I was going to say, well, speaking of random podcasts, random players, we should probably get into the Pistons lineups as of late, huh?
Yes, that's a great segue.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay. So the Pistons have shortened their rotations. They modified their starting lineups. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the changes. Monty Williams has said he's wanted to get an extended look at Detroit's new starting lineup of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Asar Thompson, Isaiah Stewart, and Jalen Durham. That lineup is a -10.9, according to, I don't know where you pulled that stat, but I'm sure that Cleaning the Glass would have the same number. NBA.com probably had that stat. If you replace Isaiah Stewart with Simone Fontecchio. The lineup is much better, has like a 12-point swing to plus 2.2. So makes a big difference having a shooter in there as opposed to a not a shooter in Isaiah Stewart. Any thoughts on the starting lineup that finally is getting a bit of an extended look? I think that's what we've kind of been clamoring for, is just some consistency from Monty. And he's at least maintaining that level of consistency so far as of very recently with that starting lineup. But any thoughts on that lineup just out of the gate before we even talk about Fontecchio being, you know, a superior replacement for Stewart at the four?
I think there's two ways of looking at it. First is just like you said, like, look, I hate to say it, but like Stewart is part of that core for Detroit right now. And he's actually the only one of that core that already has a contract extension locked in. So he is a part of your future as of right now, unless things drastically change. So I think you owe it to yourself to a certain extent to see what you can get out of the Cade, Ivy, Asar, Stewart, Durin lineup. I think you just have to. Those are, as of right now, the five guys that you have the most invested in your future. They're the ones who cost you the most in terms of draft capital, so on and so forth. I think the other way you can look at it is it just doesn't seem to work. And I think that there's real issues, not necessarily with Stewart in particular or Asar in particular or Durin in particular, but those three players together, I just don't think that works for this year. Whether it could work going forward is a different question. You know, if Isaiah Stewart starts taking two more threes a game and Asar Thompson starts hitting those corner threes regularly, okay, maybe we're talking about something different. But as of right now, you just haven't seen it from those players. Like, sure, if Jalen Durin can start, you know, hitting mid-range floaters, we could talk. But as of right now, they're just, it's not workable. Like, Asar Thompson needs to be running in off of cuts. He needs to be driving to the hoop. He needs to be running in transition. He needs to be occasionally being the screener in pick and roll situations so he can roll to the rim. And when you have two other guys in Stewart and Durin who are out there who are going to be in the paint for the majority of their possessions, or at least that's where they're being guarded, is in the paint for the majority of their possessions. I think you're holding that whole lineup back. And to me, it's entirely unsurprising to see when you sub out Stewart for Fontecchio that lineup does a lot better, because Fontecchio is a player that is instantly going to shoot it the second you give him the ball with any sort of space. He's going to make a lot of his shots. We saw it last night. He was awesome against the Miami Heat. He's been awesome for most of the time he's been here. He stank against the Bulls, I want to say. But other than that, he's been awesome. And there's not that much of a defensive downgrade between him and Stewart, to be completely honest with you. He's not as good of a one-on-one defender as Stewart, but he's a much better team defender in terms of how he reads the game and where he knows to be on the floor, especially in regards to switches, which is something that the Pistons have struggled with all year with their communication. So I think, to me, you can look at it either way. And I think, honestly, both viewpoints are valid. I can justify saying, like, look, these games don't matter, so it just behooves you to get as much playing time with these five on the floor as possible. But I don't necessarily subscribe to that. And I think really what you're best at doing is letting these guys play to their strengths night in, night out. As of right now, the current starting five does not do it.
Just for reference, I am seeing the plus minus for this line, five-man lineup on NBA.com at minus 4.4, so minus 4, excuse me. And I'm seeing the five-man group of Cunningham, Ivy, Durin, Asar Thompson, and then Simone Fontecchio in place of Isaiah Stewart. I'm seeing that lineup as plus 2.2, but all the points remain the same, right? There's just not enough spacing in that first group, that current starting lineup for Detroit. I will say, you know, Isaiah Stewart has proven why he needs to be on the court. He just gives them a little bit more of a defensive identity. And when the threes are falling, it obviously helps. But you need his type of tenacity on the defensive side, because they just play with a little bit more of an edge when he's out there. And the problem is, like, yes, that's great, but it just makes scoring so much harder for this team on the other side of the court. And it doesn't just make it harder for Isaiah Stewart. It makes it harder for Asar Thompson. It makes it harder for, most importantly, Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey, two guys who are probably best getting into the post, you know, driving and attacking the basket. Obviously, Cade shooting the ball really well from outside right now. He loves his mid-range, but he can get inside and be a factor there the same way Ivy kind of needs to be. Ivy is a guy that kind of needs to get inside to get the outside shot going. It kind of works together in tandem for him. And for as much as this team does look better defensively with Stewart out there, there's just such a drawback on offense for that group. And, you know, that's the thing that has to get fixed long term for this core to be relevant together, is they have to be able to compete and succeed on both sides. And right now, you know, you can see, hey, these last few games, the defense has been a little better, but the offense just cannot score the ball enough. And that is a major, major problem, because look, you can play really good defense, but you're still going up against the best of the best scorers in the world. Like, you're going to get scored on more often than not. You have to be able to score more points than the other team. And it just gets so hard for Detroit when you have Duren, you have Stewart, you have Thompson all playing in and around the paint. Even, you know, even when Stewart's out on the perimeter, the defense tends to sag in on the paint. So you still have to deal with that defender playing in the post. Just makes it so much harder for Cunningham and Ivy to operate. So, you know, I like the idea of, if you want to keep Duren and Stewart together for now, I think maybe bringing Simone Fontecchio into the starting lineup for Asar Thompson makes a little bit of sense, but it also doesn't sound like that's the direction that we're heading in. Monty Williams has made it clear that this is the group he wants to see and stick with for a while. And while I get it, these are your core guys, you need to see how they fit. I think we're seeing, like, what we would expect. The defense is going to be better, but you're just not going to be able to score the ball as much. And that's how it's played out for Detroit since Stewart has returned.
And the thing that's crazy, though, is that the defense isn't better. The defense is actually better with Fontecchio on the floor over Stewart. That five-man starting lineup as of right now played over 100 minutes. They have a defensive rating over 120. So they're not defending at a high level. And they're certainly not scoring at a high level either. So I think that there are just other issues that arise from that. I don't know if it's small sample size. Again, we're only talking about a little over 100 minutes that those five guys have played together this year, which is crazy that you think about it, considering those are your five most important players. And they haven't even reached 150 minutes on the court as a five. Like, that's wild to me. But yeah, it just, the results just aren't very good as of right now. And, like, I understand wanting to put them together, but, like, as of right now, they just don't work together. And I think it's also something we need to make clear, is that we're not blaming Stewart. We're not blaming Asar. We're not even blaming Duren. It's just the three of those guys together, from a basketball perspective, doesn't work as of right now. We're not saying it can never work. We're saying, as of right now, with those guys' limitations, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it's not on one of them. It's just that as a collective group, the fitting isn't there yet. And it's probably on the coaching staff to recognize that and say, look, long term, we believe in this group, but for now, to get the best results for everyone, we can't play all five of these guys together, because it's just, quite frankly, not working, and it's not going to until there's severe developments for all three of those guys in portions of their game. And I mean, you could say the same as well for guys like Cade and Ivy too. I mean, Ivy's just been such a shot chucker since the All-Star break, and the shots just aren't falling. You know, he's playing a little too fast for himself right now. I mean, everyone's kind of had their own issues that you can look at. So it's not, like you said, it's not just on any one player. It's all of these guys have their deficiencies that work against one another's cohesiveness, and it's playing out how you would expect it to.
So just for an additional bit of data, per cleaning the glass, the Ivy, Cunningham, Asar, Stewart, Duren, the regular core of starters, has played 236 possessions. Their differential per cleaning the glass is minus 12. If you swap out Stewart for Fontecchio, it's minus 0.5. The offense is actually almost the same. They're averaging almost about the same points per possession. Aaron, did you have a point?
I wanted to clarify the number that I gave out earlier of the current five-man starting lineup is minus 4 post All-Star break. So just since All-Star break, they've been a minus 4. I was looking at numbers and not reading correctly, so that's my bad.
That's okay, Aaron. That's okay. We forgive you for lying. Anyway, continue, Mike.
Pushing a nasty agenda.
If you swap Stu for Fontecchio, they played one fewer possession, 235 possessions versus 236. The offense is basically the same. It's literally 0.8 points per 100 possessions different. So practically the same. It's the defense. The defense with Fontecchio is in the 65th percentile for cleaning the glass, whereas with Stewart, it's in the 17th percentile. You have 123 points for 100 possessions versus 110 with Fontecchio on the court. So very interesting that the offense is very, very similar. Very similar. So it begs the question. I mean, you know, we have talked like the last couple of years about the Pistons just need to collect more and more data on rotations that they have, and they haven't been able to do that because of injuries, or, you know, Cade missed all of last year, and you just have had no continuity with seeing what sticks. Now they have an opportunity to see what sticks. They have a good chunk of the season, assuming that everyone remains healthy, of seeing what they could put together for a starting lineup next year. And some of the early returns are that having Fontecchio at the four with the rest of the core makes a whole lot of sense because of that shooting. And again, like you guys said, that doesn't mean Stewart doesn't have a role on this team. And I do think his contract is tradable as the salary cap continues to rise. But his role might just not be starter. Still has a role. Like Aaron said, his value on the team is still there. Yes. It's just not as a starter with the rest of the guys because of the lack of shooting. That puts a lot of pressure. When you have Stu and Duren, that puts so much pressure on the other guys to knock down shots. And Monty Williams talked about this post-game. Thank you to Jasper for picking this up on Twitter. This is Amari Sankofa. He asked Monty if starting Asar and Duren puts more pressure on the other guys to shoot threes. His response was, some programs, their benchmark is 40 threes. We don't look at it that way. I've always told guys to play to their strengths. I'm okay with guys taking twos as long as they're efficient. That must be the Chris Paul talking. Monty added that he's not sold on that going into a game and saying, we've got to get 35 threes. What if your guys can't shoot? You're just going to take a lot of bad shots. That's never been his approach. So
that's a little on the nose.
Jasper, you had your fingers on your temples, massaging them gently as if it was trying to remove a migraine from your head. Any thoughts on Monty's disposition on not taking threes just for the sake of taking threes?
Yeah, I have a $78.5 million migraine right now, and it's been killing me all season.
A migraine for that amount of money. I would take the migraine.
I don't know, man. That's actually a tough decision. Shout out to all my people with migraines out there. That's a tough trade-off. For me, I just think this is like classic Monty Williams, man. I can't tell if he's throwing Troy Weaver under the bus here, by the way. He might be taking a shot at Troy. I don't know. But like, to me, this is exactly what we're saying. Like, yes, Monty, that's why you have shooters in your lineup. It's, you are going to have to take threes. Like, that is a necessity of the game. Otherwise, teams are just going to load up in the paint and they are going to defend you like that. How do you expect your guys who are good at taking 2-point shots to get those 2-point shots off in quality looks if you don't have the floor space for them? That's just the basics of modern basketball. I'm so sorry that I have to be the one to tell you this. man who has been coaching in the NBA for the last 25 years or whatever it is. Like, that's why you don't put lineups out there with three non-shooters in them. Because if you have somebody like Asar Thompson, who is a slasher, if you have somebody like Cade Cunningham, who opens up his three-point game by getting to the rim and hitting mid-range shots, you have to have spacing around them. So that's why you have a guy like Simone Fontecchio out there. That's the whole reason you have Isaiah Stewart shooting threes as a power forward, because you need to space the floor. It's not about the exact amount of shots, and it's just so clear that he is a guy who misses the forest for the trees every time. The reason NBA teams have those benchmarks is because they've realized, in order for defenses to guard you in the way that you want them to guard you, so you can take advantage of efficient two-point shots, you need to put up a certain amount of threes per game. That's what it is. It's not because these teams are like, if we don't shoot 43s, we'll lose. No, dummy. It's the spacing. It's always been the spacing. Like, how does this guy just not get it? Just the constant, like, it's the little turns of phrases that he uses that just make me see that he has no idea what he's talking about. And this is why the Pistons lineups look the way they do and have all season. Finally, it seems like he's figuring it out. Hey, guys, what a novel concept, by the way. Monty's been staggering his lineups a little bit. You know what he's been doing? Playing Isaiah Stewart as at the backup five. What a novel concept. If only a podcast that we are on currently had been suggesting that for the last, I don't know, year. It's just ridiculous.
For reference, I did want to mention the Pistons are 27th in three-point attempts per game on the season at 31.5. They're 22nd in the league in three-point shooting percentage at 35.8%. I also wanted to talk about real quickly the quote from Monty talking about teams have a number of 43-point attempts per game that they try to hit. Only three teams in the league average more than 40 or more three-point attempts in the league. Everyone else is below that number. Also, in the bottom 10 of teams that shoot in the bottom 10 three-point attempts per – excuse me, let me restart there. For the bottom 10 teams that shoot the fewest three-pointers per game, only two playoff teams that are in that bottom 10 also shoot – are also in the bottom 10 of three-point shooting percentage. That's the Chicago Bulls, who are in the play-in right now, and the Orlando Magic. All the other playoff teams or all the other teams that shoot in the bottom 10 in terms of three-point attempts per game, teams like the Philadelphia 76ers, the Denver Nuggets, the Phoenix Suns, the New Orleans Pelicans, they are all in the top 20 or higher in three-point shooting percentage. So in short, there are good teams that don't shoot a ton of three-pointers. But when they do shoot three-pointers, they are very efficient in doing so. And when you're the Pistons and you're a really bad teams probably do need to shoot more threes to try to keep themselves in games more. And so I think that's something that stands out to me. Yeah, you don't have to shoot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
43s a game. You can be good and not shoot, a ton of threes. But you have to be able to make them. And for the Pistons to be so poor at getting up three-point attempts, They're also bottom 10 in three-point shooting percentage. So the correlation is very, very clear to me there.
There's also a link up. I mean, it's just hilarious to talk him about, you know, him talking about, oh, well, we want to get efficient two-point shots. Well, guess what? The Pistons take the fourth most two-pointers of any team in the league. They have the 21st worst shooting percentage on two-pointers. So, gosh, maybe there is a correlation there, Monty. Have you perhaps thought that they'd get better two-point looks if they got better three-point looks? I don't know, just spitballing here. And again, I don't want to put it all on Monty because a part of it does also fall on Troy Weaver for not surrounding this team with competent three-point shooters all year long. I mean, God. Joe Harris, I mean, that was the big offseason move. You know what I mean? Like, if they had acquired an actual shooter in the offseason or had even attempted to, maybe we'd be talking about this a little bit differently. So, like I said at the beginning of my little mini rant, like, this could also be a shot at Troy Weaver for not giving him the players that he needs. Because even if you look at it right now, like, who are the great three-point shooters on the Pistons? It's Fontecchio, and it's, honestly, Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham's been on an absolute heater since Jaden Ivey entered the starting lineup. Dude's shooting like 41% from three, maybe even better after last night. So, it's just frustrating to once again have to talk about the way this team was constructed and the way that it's being coached currently.
Well, one more point on the rotations that we're going to get into is that Monty has also shortened his rotations the last couple of games. He played nine guys yesterday, or for those listening 2 days ago, against the Heat. Those players were Marcus Sasser, Evan Fournier, Fontecchio, and James Wiseman. It was also said, or it was also reported during the podcast, that Quentin Grimes is not going to play tomorrow, or for those listening today, with his knee injury. So one would assume that the rotation will look different once he is healthy. But with those four guys being the first ones off the bench and the only ones off the bench, any thoughts on Monty running with that shortened rotation? Does it mean anything? I mean, Sasser, Fournier, I thought has been shooting the ball okay. I know the numbers don't reflect that he's leading to winning, but you know, even against the Heat, maybe it was one game earlier, he was quite literally keeping them in the game with his shooting. And just his ability to shoot the basketball provides value to a bench that really doesn't offer too much of it, especially if you don't have Fontecchio in or on the bench. If you have him starting instead, then you have Isaiah Stewart, which just limits the shooting even more. So any thoughts on the shortened rotations from Monty? We've talked a lot about the starting lineup, but anything that stands out as to why he's going with nine, just to tighten the screws a bit?
Look, I think it would make sense if it was nine and he was staggering the bigs and you know, Duren was starting. Even if he started Stewart and Duren, taking Stewart out 4, 5, 6 minutes into the game, then bringing him back in for Jalen Duren at the backup five, and then using Sasser, Fournier, Fontecchio, Grimes, whoever else off the bench. It's just nothing's going to make a whole lot of sense when James Wiseman is still in the rotation. And this team has shown such a commitment to him, to a guy that is not an NBA player, unfortunately. And it's hurt this team because you see it as soon as he steps onto the court, he is the target of the opposing team's offense. So I don't hate going to a nine-man rotation. I also think, you know, once Quentin Grimes is back, it probably gets ballooned back out to 10, which probably makes sense if they had, you know, maybe one or two more guys that were actually worthwhile giving NBA minutes to instead of James Wiseman and Evan Fournier. But it just kind of is what it is. I'll be interested to see when this team actually could get fully healthy, which they have not been able to outside of when they were getting Monte Morris back for 2-3 games, and they got killed in those games as well. But post-trade deadline, with the roster that they have, if they could get healthy, I'd be interested to see what the actual rotation looks like, because the other part of that is Marcus Sasser's not playing well. And this new role that he's in as the only guard on the court playing with that second unit is just, it's been a disaster. He's not ready to be an NBA point guard right now. He needs another guy out there that can handle the ball, that can do some of the distributing. So Sasser can play a few possessions off the ball and spot up, not have the defense on top of him for 24 seconds. So that's part of another part of the issue with the rotations and needing to stagger Cunningham and Ivy, is it's going to help the bench unit. It's going to help some of those guys. It's going to help someone like Ivy get to be the de facto one out there for a while. It's going to help Marcus Sasser be able to contribute. And it makes it easier for you to play minutes when all of your starters aren't on the court together. So that's really my thoughts on
it. Yeah, it's so close. He's so close to getting it right. And I think the key really does come down to, like, good, he's starting to give Isaiah Stewart run as the backup five at times. I think that's great. The problem is he's not staggering his guards properly. And it's the same thing that you were just saying. Like, Jaden Ivey needs to be able to run the show a little bit, even if it's just for 5-7 minutes a game. Like, he's got to get the opportunity to run the show a little bit. And I know he's been really bad since the All-Star break. I'm totally aware of that. But one of the ways that you can help a guy get his confidence back in terms of shooting is by allowing him to do other things. And then when it's appropriate for him to shoot, then he shoots. And as of right now, the way that Monty's staggering those minutes, it's just not possible. He's playing two guard all the time. And it's crazy because, and I feel like this happens every single time when we go into a season, we're like, oh, the Pistons have too many centers. And then 4 months later, you're looking around, you're like, do we have a single playable center on this roster? It's the same thing for the guards this last offseason, where we're like, oh my God, what are the Pistons going to do? They have like 8 point guards on the roster. And now you're looking at yourself and at the beginning of your March, and you're like, is there anyone on this team who can create a shot for somebody else? That's the real issue with the way that Monty's doing these, you know, 9-man rotations. I love that he's cutting it down. There's not 12 players on this team that are deserving of NBA minutes right now. So sorry to say. The problem is one of those guys, two of those guys have been playing decent minutes, and that's Evan Fournier and Malachi Flynn. And when you are throwing out backup lineups with Malachi Flynn or Quentin Grimes or, God forbid, Evan Fournier being asked, even Marcus Sasser to a lesser extent, being asked to be shot creators, it's just not going to work. And that's why the offensive rating has cratered with Fournier on the floor, even though he's shooting okay. He's been fine shooting, but they have no creation. So the offense grinds to a total standstill. They're so easy to defend. I believe they have like a 1.4 assist to turnover ratio with Fournier on the floor, and that totally tracks. Like, when you have backup guards out there who aren't real shot creators for other players, your offense is going to struggle and your bench is going to struggle regardless of what you're doing. So Monty, he's 50% of the way there. What he needs to start doing is staggering those Ivy minutes, because even if he's not shooting well, he is still a player that can get to the rim. He is a player that can draw on the defense. He is a player that can kick the ball out and create for others when he's given that opportunity, even if he's not a great threat to score for himself right now. And to me, that's the main thing that has to happen, especially when Quentin Grimes comes back. Dude, backups of Quentin Grimes and Marcus Sasser being your answer to creating shots for your bench, it's not going to work. I don't need to see that. It's not going to work. There's nothing else that needs to be said. There's nothing else that needs to be shown. Those lineups will not work. So to keep throwing them out there as of right now, you're doing a half measure and not a full measure. So it's disappointing, but again, it's fixable.
Yeah, it is fixable, and hopefully this offseason will be the time to fix that. Again, I think this is still just a data collection period of see what you got, see what works together and what doesn't. Some things are more obvious than others, as we've highlighted a few times on this podcast. This roster is going to look a lot different next year. on the subject of creation. If only they had a backup point guard who was familiar with the Pistons that they could sign, who just hasn't been signed by anybody since, oh, say, the trade deadline. Isn't it weird that Killian Hayes is just out of the league?
Don't you go there.
Isn't it weird? He's just, we heard the Grizzlies for like a couple of minutes were interested, and then nothing.
Were they actually interested, or was that just people saying the Memphis has no one? Maybe they'll take a flyer on them because they suck.
I was gonna say it's got to be somebody like somebody from the Grizzlies said, "Wait, by the way, is Killian Hayes still on your team?" And that got reported as interest. Oh, dude, it's brutal. I mean, dude, Memphis is like pulling guys off of the street.
Derrick Rose is hurt again. Pistons.
Their whole team is hurt again. Their whole team is hurt. And they're just like pulling dudes up from the G League. Like, it's crazy. No, Killian Hayes, it's Jover, my guy.
It is Jover.
It is officially Jover.
Really crazy that he was starting at the beginning of the season. He was the starting point guard. And the Memphis Grizzlies would rather start a 7-Eleven gas station attendant than Killian Hayes.
Yeah, but that 7-Eleven, that guy's got a great mixtape, though. So
that's true. That's worth at least like 10 points per game.
Important to note that the Milwaukee Bucks have won 6 in a row, and Danilo Gallinari has completely flipped their season around since going. They can't lose now that they've added Danilo Gallinari. So that's just
of course.
Another former Piston helping another team.
It's the Italian difference. It's the Italian difference. That's quality, baby.
Right. I've been on a Sopranos rewatch, and I'm almost done with season 6, so this is really hitting me hard.
Those always hit.
Those always hit. They absolutely do. Very good soundtrack in that show too. I'm a big fan. Before we get into TV talk and go completely off the rails again. Any last minute thoughts on rotations, Monty Williams, what we're looking for tonight? I guess it's going to be tomorrow for us, but tonight for all you listeners, what do we got?
Yeah, I mean, Brooklyn has been kind of a disaster under Kevin Ollie, so I'll be interested to see how Detroit fares against them. Other than that, no, not really. Like, we know what to expect from this team. We know what they're going to look like on a nightly basis. Unless they come out and shoot a really hot ball, they're going to have to play incredible defense with the guys that they're playing to stay in and win ball games. And that's just not going to be enough most nights. So hopefully they get Quentin Grimes back soon, though. It's kind of concerning that, you know, he came to this team having not played since the end of January, and came back, played what, 3, 4, 5 games, and that knee's bothering him again. So that's maybe something I'm concerned about moving forward. But if it continues to be a problem and he can't get back, you know, at some point next week, that might be something we have to be a little bit more concerned about.
Yeah, Mike, you remember the end of season 1 when Uncle Junior hires those guys to kill Tony, and they miss every single shot that they take at him, even though they're like right next to him in his car.
Like a stormtrooper in Star Wars, yes.
Yeah. I hear Troy Weaver's trading 3 second-round picks for those guys during the offseason. You've been a great audience. Thank you. That's my time.
You'll be here all week. Yeah, that's prep along, everybody.
Oh, man. You gotta make yourself laugh to stop from crying sometimes.
That's true. That's true, and there is a lot of crying in the Sopranos too. So that makes a whole lot of sense. That definitely tracks. Guys, good episode. We managed to turn a Taj Gibson signing into about an hour's worth of podcasting. So that is pretty excellent work.
It's always a blast with you boys. There's, like I said, there's just something special when all three of us can get on here and shoot the breeze for an hour. It's just like, it doesn't matter if there's not a whole lot going on. We can make something out of nothing.
Yeah, exactly right. Sopranos and Jeanette McCurdy. Perfect. Nailed it. Match made in heaven. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsor this week. That is Bet Online. If you are interested, use our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. For my co-hosts, Jasper Apollonia and Aaron Johnson, I'm Mike Angolano. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Bleed Network. We will see you all next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.